today on Compassion Radio.
This is an area of the world that has a long history of racism, and I could tell you stories of how this area has treated people of different races in the past. For myself, as a long-term resident of this area, the defining point was, is this gospel I'm reading, does it apply to actually how I live my life? When we decided as a family that it did, we had to make fundamental changes in how we lived our life. And that included ministering to people of every tribe, nation, and tongue, as it says in Scripture.
Well, hello, and welcome back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. A while ago, Bram received an email via CompassionRadio.com from a man named Josh Manning here in the U.S. He was writing Bram to tell him about the incredibly unique pastoral ministry that God had given him in his hometown of Knoll, Missouri, and to simply thank Bram for the broadcast. Well, Bram was so moved by the email that he reached out to Josh to invite him on the program. What came from their phone call was nothing short of a treasure trove of stories about the power of God to minister to a diverse group of immigrants who've come from all over the world. Today, Josh is back with Bram for an update on the things that God is doing in his life and in the lives of his congregation. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's part two of that conversation.
On the program with me today is Josh Manning. Josh, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here again.
I think every immigrant community, or refugees for that matter, when they're suddenly slammed up against these waves of different cultures and circumstances, syncretism becomes a real issue for spiritual growth because so many things can be adopted because you're just there. You soak it up. This is what these people believe, and this sounds kind of cool or true. And it's never really challenged. The chore you have then is to kind of deconstruct the things that we have absorbed and to build from a foundation. These things we could all agree are truly true because they're true, and the Word of God itself says it's true too. And then you start building in the rest of the morals and ethics that are the foundations for how we understand what sin means and why it offends God. You have a great opportunity here to be like a preschool for spiritual thinking, but of course you don't see your people now as being infants or as being toddlers that don't know how to discern things. You've discovered how hungry they are to grow up. What has been the biggest revelation that they've come to that surprised you about hearing the gospel?
The biggest thing that has impacted me with them in the gospel is the way that they perceive Scripture. Truthfully, it's probably a more accurate way of viewing Scripture. I come at this from a very Western way of thinking.
Right.
But the way that they, even just family structure, the way they live their life, things of that nature seem much closer to the biblical narratives I see in Scripture. And so as I've seen the gospel story, as I've seen Old Testament stories through their eyes, it's actually illuminated a great deal in terms of just the practical nature of the gospel and just the way that you take care of your neighbors, take care of your family, you take care of those around you. That is a major, major part of their culture. And lines up so beautifully with the gospel written.
Yeah. And we also need to confront where those things go awry, and we end up with a shame-based cultish kind of culture. So much of that is just destroying the Middle East right now. But there are many cultures around the world that force people into a kind of obligatory prison, where if you do not do exactly the way we say you should and honor your parents the way we say you should honor them, then you're obviously a sinner, a ne'er-do-well, an outcast. Both these kind of cultural perspectives, independent-minded Western thought and beholden, imprisoned, clannish kind of extremes, they both need to be expelled because somewhere between those extremes is where Jesus wanted us to be, free to love each other and to minister to each other and free to identify with and love those whom God has given you.
A comical story to add. This was just something recently. My translator's family, they lived in a house together, probably six or seven people in just a three-bedroom house. And they had another Karen man came along. They didn't know who he was, but he was requiring shelter because he was here to work and had no place to live. And so they took him in as part of their culture. And he had lived with them for several weeks. And so I asked some of the young ladies who stood in our youth group about the man living in their house. And they honestly did not know his name or anything about him, though he had lived in their house with them for nearly a month at that point.
Funny.
They were absolutely willing to take in the stranger to the point that it was just so commonplace, it wasn't even necessary to ask him their name at that point. And there's something to be learned from there, but there's also some security concerns, I would think, at some point as well.
From our perspective, for sure. But this pretty much tracks right along with the parable of the Good Samaritan. I don't think Jesus was necessarily just keeping them nameless for the purpose of the story. People would have followed and tracked the story like these Karen friends of yours by realizing that they had an ethical responsibility to respond to what's right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have people that have no idea who's living in their house, but of course you let them in because that's what you do. It's the right thing. And therefore, when they're under your roof, like in Middle Eastern cultures, you are completely responsible for them. They are one of your family. And until they leave your door, you are to bless them and care for them. That, of course, from a Western mindset, might seem a recipe for being taken advantage of big time.
The difference for them is just it's such a primary part of their culture that it's not even questioned. Hmm. And just the ability to have that much care and compassion for people around you. I grew up Midwestern Missouri here. And my thought process is if I have a neighbor next door, I don't need to know their business. And so I could live for years next door to someone and never even have met them.
Yeah.
They have no concept of that. They are in and out of each other's homes. There's such an sense of community and love towards each other that's been challenging to me.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Up next, more great insight on what it means to truly love God's people.
Hi, friends. Here's a quick update on our growth goals for the rest of 2019. To start with, a big thank you to all who responded to our summer challenge. We've grown our vision team larger than ever, and that means we can focus more on the ministry opportunities that are coming our way. We still have two important goals to reach this year in order to take on some faith-stretching and desperately needed projects in 2020. We'll be sharing a lot more about those in the days to come. The first goal is to grow our vision team by another 200 people. That simply means Compassion Radio becomes part of your faithful mission giving at the level the Lord enables you to give. I know that gifts of all sizes are exactly what the Lord uses to build His kingdom around the world. If you're on a fixed income or if you run a large business, your giving matters to the Lord and to His kingdom servants. Your generosity here makes it possible for us to bring you some truly amazing stories and news from the front lines of faith. Think of it this way. Compassion Radio makes it possible for God's courageous people around the world to bring you a daily gift of encouragement and inspiration. We invite you inside the greatest movements of God in the history of Christianity. Is that worth something to you? I certainly hope so. It's our vision team members that literally keep us going day to day. Second, we've got a year-end budget challenge of $100,000 that we must meet to make sure that we can continue on the station where you hear this program every day. I'm confident in you and the Lord's provision to make that possible. Our vision team is leading the way on this. If you haven't given in a while, would you consider joining them to meet this special appeal? Friends, thank you so much for taking the special appeal to heart, and we are so grateful for you.
To join the Compassion Radio Vision Team, go to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. Celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting, this is Compassion Radio.
Always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
You're the hope inside our heart.
You know, I grew up Midwestern Missouri here, and my thought process is if I have a neighbor next door, I don't need to know their business. And so I could live for years next door to someone and never even have met them.
Yeah.
They have no concept of that. They are in and out of each other's homes. There's such an sense of community and love towards each other that's been challenging to me.
Very good. Now, of course, your state motto is show me. So you have to demonstrate your integrity and your trustworthiness before you're allowed to approach any closer. That's the kind of feeling I get from that kind of motto. It seems like the Karen in your community now, their motto is show up.
They don't even have a concept of locking doors.
Yeah.
They are in and out of each other's homes. The gospel for them is directly applicable to even the minor points of their life.
Okay, Josh, you're talking about one people group, and you've described earlier that you've got 11 language groups and 30-plus nations of birth represented in your town now. Take me on a further tour. You and I walked around and saw the property there a month ago, and we discussed what the potential was for your congregation and for its facilities to reach out and help those who are landing in your community. What other people is God putting in your face now that you're having to address and deal with to find new ways of ministry for? Who's coming to you?
The most recent from the church perspective has been the other two churches meeting in our building. They have happened very quickly and very recently. We had a Spanish group, as far as it's going to be Mexican and Guatemalan immigrants. They have started to meet at a service. They have their own pastor, own culture, own language, everything. The other group, which is the most recent, has been our Chukis people. This is a Micronesian group, and there's a group of about 40 with their own pastor, and we've allowed them to use our facility as well for their own service. And so now I'm the de facto senior pastor. That may be the wrong phrase, but helping to take care of them and their facility needs as they worship in our building.
And we had a chance to sit down with them and hear them worship. And it is quiet at times, loud at others. And the thing that I think it was distracting them the most during our visit last time was something that meant the world to Sandy and I, because we've been so involved with Bibles for China campaigns over the years. Getting the Word of God in the hands of people who have never had it before is an incredible thing to experience, especially when people have been longing for one forever. You think about Christmas being the time when some child has finally realized the gift that they've been hoping for forever, and what a joyous moment it is in their childhood innocence. When it comes to Christians, this is an important hope to hold out for, that the Word of God should finally be entrusted to them. We watched you handing out brand new copies of Chuckie's Bibles to people in that congregation for the first time. And suddenly, the thing I've seen in other countries was happening right here in front of me in the central part of America. That is fascinating to me.
You came along like the perfect service. It just got orchestrated.
Exactly.
That was, I think, the third or fourth service that they had been meeting with us. And the first service, we found out that at least half the congregation did not own a Bible, at least in their Chukis language, because these guys are bilingual, so some had an English Bible and so on, but their heart language is not English.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had contacted some friends of ours, and they had spent way too much money, but had procured us some of the Bibles. And they came in that particular day, and so I had picked them up from Springfield right before my service, and drove down and was able to give those Bibles out to those folks. I don't know if they listened to Pastor Darius, the ones that received the Bible the entire time, because they were diving into the Word because they had it in their hands, and this was the first moment that they owned it.
That's a marvelous place to be, and I would consider that one of God's sweet divine appointments, because it had been such a passion for us. It still is. And it is for our Compassion Radio listeners, too. I'm going to get to a way that we could be able to help you in the months to come with Bibles, and that's a neat story in itself. But let's wrap up the visit that you and I had last month. When we came through, you were just back from running around like crazy, doing things. You always are like that. You were holding in your arms a stack of pots and pans. And this was, as I learned, a ministry story. So tell me what the pots and pans were about.
Oh, that's the norm for us. The basement of our church was once flooded, and so we yanked out all the classroom things that used to be there, and now it is just items for donation largely. Clothing, household goods, things of that nature. And the three little churches meeting in our building and the English class that meets in our gym, that's up to 60, 70, 80 people that attend that as well. They have access to come in and get these kind of items. People are constantly bringing donations and they leave quickly. Just to give you an idea with the type of things, Pastor Darius, we mentioned the Chukis pastor, we currently have one room set aside for household goods for him because he came in to minister to his flock. And he came without a stick of furniture, just the clothing he carried in the trunk of his car with his wife and two kids and nothing else. And so our passion is to take care of our pastor so he can take care of his flock.
And you did, with a stack of pots and pans that were jangling around in your arm as we were trying to have a conversation.
Yes, I think that went directly to him, so that was a good one, too.
It's interesting to me that even there in America, there's a certain kind of poverty which has dignity. And I've seen that around the world, too. This pastor, who had nothing, as you said, of worldly possessions, but he had his calling, and he had a good suit. distinguished looking man.
He was dressed nice.
That suit he was wearing was like something out of a design shop, impeccably tailored. And he wasn't trying to look hoity-toity at all. He just had dignity to him, and he dressed for the role he had. It was obvious that he was serious about his ministry. And his wealth was literally on his back and in his hand. He had a copy of the word, and he was ready to preach. And what a humble gentleman he was, too. But somebody that would be very imposing on any city street. So here's this man who is invested in the vestments of his role, his honorable calling to ministry. And you're telling me the backstory is everything else that the world would say are the requirements for civilized living. He didn't know where they were coming from next. And yet God had ordained for him to be there first to follow the calling, and then he would take care of all these other things. This is the Beatitudes for me. He is hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto him as well.
To me, the story, the way he progressed, is biblically minded, but it's backwards to the way I would think.
Of course.
To give you an idea, he knew that there was a group of about 40 people meeting in someone's living room in Knoll, Missouri. And so he was called. He came quickly with his nice suit, not a lot else. He came. He's living in his niece's living room. The first action he did was to go around town looking for a building for his church to meet in. He encountered us. I looked out my window, and there was a group of Chukis people wandering in and out of the open door of my church. And I was like, my goodness, who are these people? And found out that they were needing a place to worship. Their doctrine was sound, and so we allowed them. That was his first action. This morning, before this interview, I was actually asking around town, he's still looking for employment at this point, and I think I have him a job interview scheduled, and all of those kind of things, housing he's still addressing, cars he's still addressing, everything else was secondary.
Mm-hmm.
But preaching the Word of God and being prepared to preach the Word of God was primary before everything else. And that impresses me, and that's one aspect of him I enjoy very much.
My impression from the people I met, Josh, not only are they a blessing to you, but that you sense, and your wife, Lauren, agrees, that you need these people. Most Americans that are of a more conservative bent are thinking politically about the threat that rapid immigration might be to the culture, might be to the economy. And at the same time, you're at the buckle of that belt of America. You're at the very heart of the most conservative voters on the planet. And you're facing a very quote-unquote liberal issue, how to deal with refugees and immigrants. And you're taking this on from the gospel perspective, what God is leading you to understand about these people that he is bringing you. I'm proud of you for that, but this is not a political statement whatsoever. How did you discern what God wanted in the middle of something that was so politically charged in a time like this?
This is an area of the world that has a long history of racism, bigotry, and I could tell you stories of how this area has treated people of different races in the past. For myself, as a long-term resident of this area, the defining point was, is this gospel I'm reading, does it apply to actually how I live my life? When we decided as a family that it did, we had to make fundamental changes in how we lived our life. And that included ministering to people of every tribe, nation, and tongue, as it says in Scripture.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.